listeners. Welcome to episode 4 of Screen Heroes, part of the Grid Talk Network from the Grid Daily. For those of you who have been paying attention, you know that we went through a little bit of a rebranding. We used to be The Grid, a Sci-Fi Frontier. We are now The Grid Daily, so you can find us at griddaily.com. And today we are going to be talking about our top 5 hero moments, hero screen moments from 2015. We're all going to go around the room and talk about what our top 5 list is. So I have, there's 5 of us here tonight, so we'll just kind of go around the room and everyone can say hi and introduce themselves. I have my 2 hosts, Ray.
Hi.
And Ryan.
Hello.
And we have 2 new guests, 2 first-timers, 2 screen heroes. We have Ian.
Hi.
And we have Frank.
Hello.
Do you guys want to introduce yourselves at all?
Frank, do you want to go?
Yeah, sure. I'm a huge Star Trek fan. I like sci-fi in general. A lot of you guys may have recognized me as that guy who looks like Dr. McCoy. Other than that, there's nothing much else to me.
We're very superficial on this show, so that's perfect that you summed it up that way.
Some people are a big fan of insincere humbleness, I guess. I don't know.
Frank's a great guy. He's a really good friend. I like that he's in my life.
And everybody laughs at
you. Good luck following that up, Ian. Yeah, come on.
My name's Ian. I'm a cosplayer. I do lots of gender-bending stuff, so if you see someone walking around who's normally a female character and who is a male, that's probably me. So that's who I am.
All right, so now that we've all introduced ourselves, we're going to go around and we're each going to kind of do a round table and do our number 5 and number 4 and so forth. So, Ray, you're sitting next to me. Let's start with you and go clockwise. What is your number 5 for 2015?
All right, so I want to say just right now, mine's not in any particular order. I'm just going to say the 5th thing. Kingsman, the big church fight with Colin Farrell.
That was totally my number 5 too, so.
He absolutely destroyed everybody in church.
The tuna free bird, right, of all things.
Right, it might have been the greatest scene I've seen all this year in just movies. It was very well shot, it was very well choreographed, and who thought watching Love Actually in Mamma Mia that Colin Firth would be a badass.
Like, is that not what they normally do in church? They don't fight like that?
It's been a while.
Okay, it's but, well, yeah.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the fight scene, it's like, picture what would happen if there was a church of 70 people and 1 secret agent and they all wanted to kill everybody equally.
It is a crazy scene.
It is nuts. I mean,
I love that movie so much.
They're very creative. What I loved about that scene is the creative use of, like, he takes the slide off his gun and stabs somebody in the throat with, like, the...
Yeah. Stabs somebody with a crucifix. A giant crucifix.
I mean, it's very creative use of environment, and I always appreciate that in the fight scene, so I thought that was... And it was, like you said, very well choreographed.
Yes. It's not easy to choreograph that many extras in a fight, and they did it well.
Oh, fantastic. So. Yeah, that's an amazing scene.
Yeah, and the CG wasn't in your face. There was some computer-generated stuff happening, but it was all done pretty well and didn't stand out.
Yeah, it's a really shining example of how awesome that movie really is.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's move on then to Ian. What is your number 5?
My number 5 would be the Arkham franchise coming to an end this year.
With Arkham Knight?
With Arkham Knight, yes. It was a great game franchise that I really, really loved from 2009 to 2015, even though Arkham Origins wasn't the best one in the series, but...
Well, it's a prequel, it was developed by somebody else, so, you know.
But yeah, I think that would be my big top 5 would be that, and seeing it come to a close and having a very fitting end to The Dark Knight in that area.
Any particular aspect to it?
Just everything. I mean, you know, they brought back Kevin Conroy for, you know, all 3 games. You know, Mark Hamill. That just, you know, hits my childhood.
Yeah.
You know, because from the animated series, obviously. But, and this was the first game that I really saw on the PS4 that was, you know, a whole new gen console. And it was beautiful. It looked fantastic. So I would say it just everything about it, the writing, the plot points, the villains, how they develop Scarecrow to be the big bad in this one instead of having the Joker, obviously. And, it's Batman. And it's a video game, so it's
all right.
Perfect combination of both.
Cool. Alright, so Ryan, you said your number 5 was the same as Ray's.
Yeah, I have to substitute one of my lower ones, but that's okay.
Alright,
because I have some subs. I'm going to say the team up in the CW Flash show with Flash, Arrow in his Ra's al Arrow outfit, and Firestorm at the end of season one when they're fighting Reverse Flash. I thought that was a really great scene. I thought that, you know, the Avengers had some good moments in there where they showed the whole team. They did like the circle thing around the whole team, but there was something about the way they shot that one where they had Firestorm kind of light up, and then they had Flash with like the lightning bolts in his eyes, and they had Arrow like, you know, pulling back his bow. They made it look cool. They made it look cool, and I just, that whole scene was really cool and yeah. Creative use, and the only guy that doesn't have superpowers there was the guy that actually beat, I mean, obviously he had assistance, but he was the one that finished off Reverse Flash. I thought that was cool. Just the whole way they did that, I thought it was a really cool scene, and, a really fitting end to a good season of television on that show.
It was a fantastic ending to that season. I love that crossover, and I'm a big Flash fan, so I kind of like that the big epic moments kind of focused more on the Flash side of things with Firestorm and all and Reverse Flash. But yeah, that's a good one.
I still have yet to see any Flash or Arrow. I'm a bad person.
Yeah.
Oh man, you have
I'm
to.
A bad person.
Who invited
person.
Him on this podcast? I don't know.
It was yes, the prerequisite pity. Is you have to watch all the CW.
We just spoiled the entire first season of Flash for you, so.
Alright, Frank, you're number 5.
I'm about to say the Ant-Man film. It really surprised me. It's like it's another character I don't know hardly anything about. He's not an A-lister. He's not very powerful. And the premise of the character, okay, he goes really small. I mean, that's super lame to me. I like it when a character is not very powerful, but he has a big presence. Mm-hmm. On top of that, the film was done really well. It was funny. It was great to watch. It was exciting. The main thing, I was surprised by it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, for the second year in a row, the MCU was able to pull what seems like a bunch of lame characters into something really amazing. It was a lot of fun.
See, Ant-Man is only lame to people that don't really know his powers and think all he does is shrink.
Because right. He looks like he's nothing. But
yeah.
That's a hard thing to sell, though. I mean, like, the name, they make fun of it in the movie, right?
They Ant-Man, do. Like, and the name is lame. Yeah, I mean, we get that. But
the movie was great.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Casting was great. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun.
Plus Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
Baskin Robbins always finds out.
Always.
All right, well, my number 5... is actually the Creed Rocky Universe movie. So the Rocky franchise is very important to me. I'm from Philadelphia and all those types of things. And I love that franchise. And I felt that Creed really beat my very high expectations and pulled out a really amazing story, emotional and powerful. And Michael B. Jordan was absolutely fantastic throughout the entire film. And Stallone was on point the entire time. I mean, yeah, he's old and he's, you know, not really healthy anymore. And he played that really well. And he didn't try to be the rough Rocky character that he used to be. Something funny, Ray?
Yeah, I'm just thinking of the fact that you said he's old and he's not healthy. And he plays that well. And, you know,
the character is that way.
Oh, yeah.
Stallone's fine. I mean, Stallone's a little old, don't get me wrong. But I mean, he's still doing the Expendables movies and stuff.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Well, I agree with you, Derek. That was probably, it's my top three. I don't know if it's two or three, but it's definitely my top three Rocky movies. It was, it was fantastic. The one shot, or one no cut fight scene that they had, the boxing scene, was pretty amazing. I mean, it was very technically challenging and they executed it very well. And the whole movie was very well done. There were some shots that were a little weird. Now, I'm not familiar with that director, but I'm excited to see what else he does after this because there were some really interesting and pretty shots just, in a boxing
Rumor
movie,
is
you wouldn't
that
think that.
Marvel wants him for Black Panther. I'm totally okay with
yeah,
that.
I'd be good with that.
Yeah, that'd be really great. The director, I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, but he was, I mean, the movie was great.
I can see that.
I loved, you know, they did the classic Rocky running montage, but it was a different one. He takes a different track in a different way to different music, and I like that they were able to keep the spirit of the Rocky franchise, but transform it into something new that they can continue. And Michael B. Jordan wants to do that, so that was really awesome for me.
It was more than meets the eye.
It was.
You said transform.
It was. Roll out.
I apologize.
All right, so that was our number 5, so let's move on to number 4, Ray.
Okay, so number 4, I'm going to go with the Black Widow and Hulk storyline from Avengers Age of Ultron.
Nice.
I know a lot of people thought this romance was just out of left field, and to me it made so much sense once they were describing their characters. Those are two characters that have been pushed aside to make way for the bigger hitters, Iron Man, Cap, and Thor. And I feel like once they explain those two versions of those characters' backstories, and you get them talking, you get them flirting, it makes a ton of sense. And it was a nice softness and a slower pace that the movie needed. That movie was filled to the brim with Easter eggs and setting up Phase 3, and it was overloaded. It wasn't fair for Josh Whedon or any of the characters to be put through so much that I just felt like the movie needed this softness. And
gave it some real humanity that was missing from the film.
Right. And it gives both characters something to fight for.
And it gave them some development too. And both of them have kind of been side players in the bigger plots on all the movies. So, you know, any kind of character development is good in my book.
Well, you figure, like, what is Bruce Banner sticking around for? What is Hawkeye sticking around for? What's Black Widow sticking around for? And this movie answered all three of that. So.
Yeah, I guess while that's really an amazing kind of relationship between the two of them, I felt like him leaving at the end of the film kind of ruined a lot of that for me. Because I felt like it went from, this is very meaningful and she's the only one who can really calm him down and take him out of the Hulk, to, alright, peace out, and, you know, maybe we'll see him again by, like, Infinity War or something.
No, they're gonna see him in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Mark Ruffalo confirmed it.
He's supposed to have a cameo in Civil War. Mm-hmm. Very small, but he's supposed to be it.
Well, anyway. I like the idea of it's a romance from the get-go. You're like, this isn't gonna work. But to me, that's what love is sometimes. Sometimes you're just, the fate is against you. Yeah. I like that aspect of it.
Well, I can really relate. Everything they were saying sounded like something that has come out of me and, you know, the boyfriend's mouth at times. So it was really special to me.
All right, Ian, what is your number four?
Mine would be that we are getting a female Ghostbusters team. And I'm very excited for that.
Ryan has some strong opinions.
I
shots fired across the bow.
I love every single actress who is in it. I've watched them on SNL, you know, their solo careers, whatever. They're hilarious. They can really play up the comedy aspect, but they can also play up the seriousness of it too. They can do both versions of it. And I think it's about time that we get a full-on female Ghostbusters team. I like that. I think there needs to be more strong, kind of cool, nerdy female characters out there, and there aren't enough. So it's something that, you know, little girls can look up to as well, because there's not a lot of female characters that can do that aren't, you know, have all these superpowers, that aren't, you know, shooting everything or whatever. So these, you know, are really cool, nerdy, you know, girls and little girls who are like that can look up to them. So I appreciate what they're doing, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen with it.
I think that's a good point. There's so many films where they cast like 10 different guys and they cast one woman, and nobody looks at it differently, nobody says anything differently. They're like, this will make millions of dollars no matter what. And I think it's cool that they're doing it backwards. That it's four chicks and
Chris Hemsworth.
And Chris Hemsworth.
He's the eye candy secretary. Yes. I love it. Yeah, I would hire him to be my secretary. And I would objectify him, and we would have romps on desks.
See, I actually don't know the cast all that well. I mean, I know Chris Hemsworth, obviously, but I really don't know the main actresses at all. Not a big SNL person these days. So I didn't really have much of an opinion from the casting, but from what I've seen from the photos, the costuming, the tech, that all looks really good.
Yeah.
So that's promising. On the flip side, we were kind of talking about this before the podcast started, that we were supposed to have a trailer by now. Now keep in mind, if it's dropped in the next week, we're recording this a week ahead of time because of the holidays. So if it happens to drop between now and then, you know, whatever. But we didn't get that yet, and it's because the visual effects weren't done. That makes me a little bit nervous. But maybe not.
It doesn't come out till August, so they still have a lot of time to, you know, do stuff with it.
True. Ryan, want to add anything to that?
Yes. I'm going to try and keep it short because we could do a whole podcast on Ghostbusters franchise and the new movie.
Will.
And we probably will at some point. I think that the four women thing is kind of a gimmick, and it's not me being a sexist or anything like that. I mean, the fact that Rachel's so excited to objectify a male is testament to the fact that it's more of a gimmick than anything else. And, I mean, it could have been just as effective with three women and one man. I just think it should be the best person for the job. And if the best people for the job were four women, that's great. And maybe the movie will be great. I have liked some of the things I've seen for it, and I have not liked some of the things I've seen for it. But, you know, I think that right out of the bat when they said it's not going to be in the same universe, it's just going to be a complete reboot. That was strike one for me as a fan. And then, the fact that it had to be four females and it couldn't just be like a mixed gender team, a team of whoever needed to fill the shoes. That bothered me some too. So, I'm hoping it's good. I'm trying not to be biased because I'm a huge fan of the originals. But, you know, we'll see, I guess. We got a lot of time before that comes out, and hopefully, the trailer drops and makes me more excited than I am now. But I'll go see it, you know, no matter what. It's got Ghostbusters attached to it, so.
What's your number four?
What's my number four? Dang, you got me so excited about that. I didn't even think. Okay, my number four is the first, I think it was dropped at San Diego Comic-Con, the trailer for Batman v Superman. The non-Doomsday trailer. I think that...
Which one was that now? I don't remember.
It was the one...
The one where they still
the
made
lead?
It look...
Yeah.
Oh, one. Right. Okay.
Yeah. I think we've talked about this on a previous podcast, so I'm not going to go into it too much, but, I think that, you got a better idea of what a trailer's supposed to be with the first trailer. The second trailer, I think, kind of spoiled the beginning, the middle, the end, and Wonder Woman's, you know, how she comes into the whole thing. I think that all the big plot points were spoiled. Sure, you didn't see Flash, you didn't see any of the other Justice Leaguers, and there's some fill-in stuff.
Well, those will be cameos, but...
Yeah, but I mean...
It's supposed to have a bigger part than a cameo.
This is bigger than Flash and Cyborg.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so Jason Momoa's is a glorified cameo, but I mean, in any case, you didn't see any of that, but now you've had all this stuff spoiled. The first one, you just were like, wow, this is going to be really cool. We get to see Batman v Superman fight. Who's going to be the real bad guy? Because everybody kind of knew that it wasn't going to be Superman that was the bad guy, or Batman that wasn't going to be the bad guy. You always knew there was going to be another one. This third trailer with Michelangelo on steroids, kind of gray Michelangelo on steroids, kind of, you
That's
know, just lost some of the magic.
Form, right?
I know, he transforms, blah, blah,
he
blah.
Super Saiyan eventually.
Right, eventually. Yeah, his power level will be over 9,000. But yeah, I like that first trailer better. I think that was the high point of the DC Cinematic Universe, since they didn't actually release anything this year other than trailers.
Well, I don't think it's been spoiled, because we don't know why Wonder Woman's there. We just know that she's there. We don't know what her purpose is.
Well, we know how she's introduced to the other two. It's
not,
like,
well,
I don't think
not
any
necessarily
of that's spoiled, though. We know that these are the main players. They're on every poster, the three
of
them
together, the Holy
Trinity.
Yeah, but we know that she's introduced with a joke right off the bat. I mean, it's... You know, I don't.
That's not going to be her character's introduction. It might be her in her armor's introduction.
Because we see her in a
Well, yeah, we
dress.
See her in another scene in one of the trailers. Yeah,
so
I get that.
We're going to see her, Diana. We're going to talk to her before that scene. Yeah, that might be the first time we see her in armor.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's our introduction to the Wonder Woman character, is what I'm getting at.
Everyone's complaining that the movie is so dark and DC is so dark and brooding, but they've got
They said that. They said there's not going to be humor in it like Marvel.
Like Marvel, but they've got some light
there
part
is some.
I thought you brought her. I mean, come on. Get out of here. Yeah, I mean, I hope it's funnier in the context of the movie, but it just seemed out of place and kind of silly.
Well, and then Lex has a few little one-liners in there that look like...
Lex will be the comedic relief.
I agree, which is going to be really weird.
So nothing new.
Well, yeah. Except from the cartoon, because that Lex Luthor is amazing.
He was. Yeah.
And Smallville. I did really like Rosenbaum's Lex in Smallville.
Well, what are your guys' impressions of Wonder Woman from what you've seen so far?
She looks amazing.
Yeah.
I think she looks good.
I always felt it's easy to hit Superman and Batman, no problem, but Wonder Woman's hit and miss. You can't always get that right, but I like how she looks.
How she looks, and I like the Trinity shot. I just wish that Batman didn't have a grenade launcher in his hands when that shot happens. Yeah. You know, I wish it was like a batarang or something like that.
It's not
a grenade launcher.
It is a grenade launcher. They have the prop labeled as a grenade launcher when they had the props on location at one of the conventions.
It's a battering launcher.
They had all the props laid out at a convention, and it was labeled as a grenade launcher.
Okay, maybe it's sonic grenades then.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm telling you. They had it on display.
Use live firearms.
As a prop guy, I pay attention to these things, and it was labeled a grenade launcher.
Oh, moving right along. Mine is Evolve, a game. It's made from the same people who did Left 4 Dead.
Oh.
It's a 4v1, strictly online. It's about 4 hunters that try to track down this beast. And it's all about trying to get to him before he levels up and evolves to a higher stage where it's a lot easier to kill him. And what I like about it, it's a cat and mouse game. Any moment you could turn the tables, the hunter becomes the hunted. Mm. So
it's like the versus mode of Left 4 Dead, basically.
Yeah, more specific, it's about the tank encounters in Left 4 Dead.
Gotcha.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. I always thought it was most fun on Left 4 Dead when you spawned as a tank. It didn't happen very often. So I haven't tried that game, but I think that I'd probably enjoy it.
I wouldn't say it's the best game of the year, but it surprised me a lot. And it was unique to me.
That'd be fun.
I've heard really good things about it. I've wanted to check it out.
One thing that held it back is it didn't have a lot of else. There's only made 4 maps, and that's it. Mm. Not many gameplay modes, but you know, if they kept that, it could become a really nice game. I like the mechanics in it.
Right.
It had lots of fun.
Cool. All right, well, that one, I guess, is short and sweet since none of us have played that game.
Yeah, not a lot to say.
So I guess we're on to my number 4. Now, my list has changed today because of some things that have gone on. So this was higher on the list earlier, but I'm going to go ahead and knock this down to number 4. This was the announcement of a new Star Trek TV series. This was a really big moment for me. I'm a Trekkie. You all know that. I'm a Star Trek dude. It's a big deal for me. And there hasn't been a Star Trek show since 2005 when Enterprise went off the air. Yes, we've had the J.J. Abrams movies, but I'm a big believer that Star Trek belongs on TV in more of a serialized format, whereas Star Wars is like the big budget film franchise, in my opinion. And that's really exciting. I'm very, very excited about that, and I was looking forward to it. And today, which is a week ago, as you're listening to this, CBS and Paramount decided to sue Axanar, which is the big fan production. It's just disappointing, and I don't know all the details yet. They might have been completely justified, they might not, I don't know. But as of today, the Trek community is very splintered about this particular issue, so it's kind of muddied the waters a bit. And
well, I'm siding with Axanar. Stay strong, Axanar. I hope they stick to their guns and make it anyways.
What's the hashtag? I stand with Axanar. Mm-hmm.
I hope they just say, okay, we're going to make it for like our own private use, and they just keep it safe and accidentally gets leaked to the internet. That'd be the best.
I mean, that is an option. I know that, you know, for those of you who don't know, Axanar has raised about $1 million through 3 different crowdfunding campaigns between Indiegogo and Kickstarter. And, you know, a lot of people are expecting perks. They're expecting DVDs and Blu-rays and props and digital downloads and stuff like that. And people are starting to freak out already. And we don't even really know what's happening. We don't know if CBS is serious about this. We don't know if they're justified. We don't know where Axanar really stands or anything. So it's really shattered the community as the news broke today. People
are
really
tangled web. They can't just undo it. Mm-hmm. They've already started the ball rolling. So I don't know what their game plan is. It could be that CBS is worried that their new show is coming out may be in that subject area, that Enterprise, post-Enterprise, pre-original series. I don't think it's likely, but that could be it.
My thought is that CBS and Paramount want Star Trek to go in a different direction, more of the JJ-verse direction. Whereas Axanar is the prime universe, and for Star Trekkies, for Trekkies, we know what that means. But for the average person who's just watching the movies, they might not care about that alternate reality stuff, and they might not want, CBS may not want people to think about the old franchises really moving forward. And so that was my thought.
But it's probably the biggest and most famous fan film out there.
Yeah.
So I can understand CBS's view. It's going to detract attention from what they have planned.
So it's a tough situation, so it kind of dropped out on my list because it's such an unknown at this point about what will happen. So all right, so that was my number 4. Let's move on to number 3, Ray.
Okay, so I've got a sad moment. Bing Bong sacrifices himself to save Riley and Joy.
Who?
Bing Bong. Inside Bing Out.
Bong. Oh, I never saw it.
Pixar's greatest
spoiler
film.
Alert.
You mean Finding Nemo?
No, Finding Nemo.
You mean
like
Toy Story?
Finding Nemo doesn't even break the top 5.
Well, I like
it. Oh my god!
I'll just keep swimming.
Ray and I have a little disagreement about the number 1, but like Finding Nemo, come on, man.
It that's
has
not even
fish,
my top
it's underwater.
5. I mean, I don't even know if I've seen 5 Pixar films, and I don't.
I'm going to be different.
5.
Then it's going to be my top 5.
All right. Anyway.
Anyway, so Inside Out, fantastic film. It tugs on every heartstring. It embodies every emotion, not just the ones that are humanized in this, or characterized, I should say. And Bing Bong is Riley's imaginary friend who has moved from her long-term memory to kind of the forgotten memories. They're not completely gone. Well, he and Joy end up in the pit of, like, never, ever, ever remembering things mm-hmm. again. I don't remember what they called it, but
it's where the memories go to fade away.
Yeah. It's where everything you lose. And they can't get out of there. And Bing Bong realizes he can get Joy out, and that means she'll feel happiness again, but he has to sacrifice himself. So,
That's an intense moment.
Incredibly sad. Everybody in the theater teared up, including the two people I was with, and it just happened to be a very, it was the definition of a screen hero in my opinion.
That's a really good one. It's a really good one. I didn't really stick with any sad moments, but that's a really, really good one.
Well, let me just bring it down here. I'll talk about all the romance and sorrow of the year.
I had one sad one on my list too, but I took it out because of spoilers of...
It's the end of 2000.
Well, if people,
you know what I'm talking about.
If people listen to the last episode of Grid Talk where we talked Star Wars The Force Awakens, there were spoilers everywhere.
That's
if you're
true.
Listening to this podcast, it's probably safe to say that there will be some spoilers.
We've spoiled everything we've talked about so far.
Yeah. So.
Ian,
number three.
Number three is the mid-season finale of Once Upon a Time for season five for me. You had in this season, Emma went dark. She went all evil and started killing people. Yeah, it was very...
Is that show finally watchable?
Yeah. Well, it's always been watchable.
I got him to say it.
No, I've been a fan since season one, episode one, so...
Okay.
It's a good place to start.
Yeah, it is. But I loved it, and then what they did to that season with progression of how Emma went dark and... what she did to become even more darker throughout the season through what she did with Camelot and the people there. And eventually what she did to Hook. Because, spoiler alert, she kills Captain Hook. And she makes him become a dark one as well. And to sacrifice, or to keep the darkness from spreading, he then in turn sacrifices himself again. And they end up where the second half of the season will be in the underworld. So they're inducing Hades, they're inducing Hercules and Meg and all these great Greek mythical creatures, along with a lot of past characters who have died on the show. So a lot of people that the Evil Queen has killed will come back to haunt her. Cruella de Vil, a bunch of villains.
So a lot of puppies.
Yeah, a lot of everything. So I think that character progression for Emma and every other character on that show was just fantastic, and it was, I think, the darkest season so far, so I can't wait to what they do with the second half of that.
Awesome. Ryan, number three.
Number three, I'm going to say the party scene from Avengers Age of Ultron. I thought that was if you just take that in its own little bubble, it pretty much sets up the entire movie. You get the guys partying and having a good time, taking a load off, and seeing everybody try and pick up Thor's hammer was really entertaining. I still maintain that Captain America could have picked it up, but he didn't because he knew what would happen if he did. But anyway, that's a whole other discussion.
It's a great moment when it does move, though.
It does move.
You can see Thor's face.
And you also see him stop trying to lift it very quickly after it moves, so... I don't know.
It's, either way you look at it, it's still a fantastic
moment. Absolutely. And then you see that the first time that they decide they need to take a break, what happens? Ultron breaks in there talking about how humanity needs to be destroyed and, you know, all these things. And so it shows that they can't even take that time to enjoy themselves.
That scene was such a great springboard for so many things. That and also introducing the Vision that he can lift the hammer too.
Yeah, and set that whole thing up. Yeah, and when they showed that in the trailers, I thought for sure that they were setting up Captain America to defeat Ultron with